appreciate your presence in my life since morning. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you today that I've come over here. I ask that your word will be a blessing to me today. I will learn, I'll grow, I'll get better, I'll move forward. Your name be glorified in my life. Thank you, Father. Let's thank him for the peace we have in our life, in our family, in our home, in our neighborhood, in our city, in our state and our nation. Father, we thank you for the peace that we have. We ask that this peace will continue, so you will instruct our leaders to see that we keep on living in peace and living our life in quietness and godliness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We thank you for tonight, those who are joining us online, on ground. Thank you for making all of us to be participants in your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening, everyone. One more time. Please have your seat. Let's get into the word. I got something different for us tonight that, last week I talked about what to do to bounce back, recover. And so tonight we are doing something that's very practical. I want to spend some practical time with us. And then I want to talk about when we are different and when we differ as Christians. So let's call this one when Christians differ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For instance, you'll be amazed. Why do we have all these different groups of Christian people, right? Baptists, gospel, what else? The name is uncountable. Catholic, Methodist, Anglican. Why can't they just kind of talk one language, right? Okay. And some are more peculiar than the others. So let's talk about sometimes Christians are different, and we're going to have to spend some time on that. When we are in church like this, we are okay. But sometimes, you know, even in a home, there can be some differences. And we are Christians, right? We are Christians. All right. So tonight, I want to show you how to live in love and how to handle yourself. Listen, everybody. Not every Christian will agree on everything. Is that all right? So we must know what the Bible says about that. Let's talk about, before I go, let's start listing some of the things that among Christians who are different. What are the things that we can see different? Scarf. Are we ready? Write them down for us. Who can give us some more? Jewelry. Okay, I hope you're writing them down at the back. So scarves. Huh? Trousers. Okay, jewelry. What else? Huh? Who can tell us more? Days of meeting. Huh? Makeup. What else? Men and women sitting apart. What else? Okay, keep on gathering them. Huh? Okay, thank you. Beautiful. Church building, church look, pastors, the way they look in church, workers, the way they look in church, right? Okay, like some churches now, I can't come like this to the pulpit, right? I must ever have something tied up somewhere. Okay, so let's look at, I want to take it more than just churches different. I'm talking about even our individual differences. So we're going to look at the Bible. I won't start with all those lists. Let's look underneath that. And why do we have those differences? How do we manage them? And when we differ, are there major differences that can help us get away from each other? Or are there minor differences that we can just put up one another? Let's go. Romans chapter 14. Okay. I'm going to read two verses, and then from there, we are going to go. Nobody mentioned tattoo. Hello? Tattoo, you know? Okay, yeah. Let's look at Romans 14. All right. And if you go down to different homes, you wonder about, should they have family planning or not? Those are a lot of things that bother. During COVID, should we take vaccination? Should we take vaccine or not? Remember all those kind of things? Remember? Okay. You seem to forget. Look at Romans 14, verse 1. Okay, we'll start from there, then we'll read Romans 16, 2. Look at it. Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. See that word, doubtful things. There are doubtful things. Are you sure? You mean everything is not clear in the Bible about Christians? He said there are what you call doubtful things. Let's look at NLT over this verse. Maybe give us some more light. Okay, accept other believers who are weak in faith. Now, let's look at what it says next. And don't, what? Argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Okay, you see that over there. You can see that, what they think. So there are places of places of thinking in Christianity that have to do with your peculiar thinking. That's not just Bible is clear about it. Now, that's one side of doubtful things and think that we think is right. But let's look at another one, Romans 16. Interesting. So how do we know the difference? Romans 16. Are we there? I want us to read a verse over there. Okay, look at verse 17, another big one. Now, I urge you, brethren, now please take a look on the screen. I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. Say, you should avoid, you know, some other ones we can stay with, some other ones we have to just avoid. Let's read it in NLT. So, now I make one more appeal. It's the same book, we're reading Romans, right? One says doubtful things, things that we think are wrong or right. Then he said, and I make one more appeal, my brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things, what? Contrary to what you have been taught, stay away from them. Next verse. He said, such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests by small talk and glowing words to deceive innocent people. So you can see these two classes of people. We have those ones that are major, there are minor differences that we can just kind of put off. Then there's some major differences that we have to avoid such people. They may claim the name of Christianity, but we have to avoid them. So how do we know them? Praise God. Is that all right? Can we dig into that today? So how do we know, this church, they are not that kind of Christians, and we must kind of stay and avoid them? Hello? And then there are some other kind of Christians that you just don't kind of take it as something serious that we can just kind of go through together and then don't mind those minor differences. Is that all right? So there are major differences. There are minor differences. Now, we know that from this one over here, it says, look at verse 17 again. Verse 17. It said, and now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause what? Divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things that are what? To what I've been taught. Stay away from them. That's one group that are major. God helping us, I will also help you to see what are the major things that you see in a church or in a people that we say, no, this is not who I should associate with. I should avoid people like this. Is that all right? Then there are those ones in Romans 14, verse 1. Let's take a look. Romans 14, verse 1. Accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Let's hear what NIV has to say by that verse. NIV. Then we look at Passion Bible. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on what? Disputable. So there are certain parts of our Christian faith that's disputable. Wow. There's no clear, final conclusions about them. Isn't that very interesting? Let's look at it in Passion Translation. Offer an open hand of fellowship to welcome every true believer, even though their faith is weak and immature, and refuse to engage in debate with them concerning nothing more than, what do they call it? Opinions. So tonight, you're going to really be helped, praise God, to separate fundamentals from opinions. So that when you live your Christian life, you can really just really enjoy yourself. And you'll be able to handle this quite well. So tonight, we are discussing when Christians differ. Let's have it on the screen. When Christians, they're Christians, they're both in Christ. Now, somebody said, if we are in Christ Jesus, we must agree on everything possible. No, that's not true. There are some things that are major agreement. There are some minor differences. And you will be surprised what Bible calls minor and what they call major differences. Are we ready to go? Should we go? Let's go. We're going to start from Romans chapter 14. And I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to read it to you from Message Bible, and it will make it fantastically clear. Honestly, it will make it clear. There are certain things that we should not make major that are just minor. And it's in the Bible. Let's go. Let's go to Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Message Bible. Are we ready? Can we make it bigger, please, so that we can see clearly? All right. Okay. Okay. Come. Let's take a look. How do you live with people when it comes to things like that? I'm waiting for them to make it bigger so all of us can see it very well. Some of us, I know we can see. Can we start make it? Balloon, is it possible? We're working on it. Thank you. All right. So we're talking about when Christians differ. There'll be time that you say, this church believe that. That church believe that. Which one is right? Now, is it major or is it minor? Let's go. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. Did you see that? So, there are places in our Christian faith that another believer, from your wife to your children, to your friends, to your colleagues, that are both calling the name of Christ, and certain things are not just clear, and they see things the way you don't see it. Let's look at it in NLT. One more time. NLT. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think. Now, there are certain areas of Christianity that it's not absolute. Hello? Like now we know God is good. That's absolute. But anybody who say God is not good, we know that they are either way out or something sick about their head. Hello? So when somebody says God is not good, we know that that's a major thing. But certain areas in our lives that we just differ and it's not clear. And it can be husband and wife, it can be children and parents, it can be, you know, that happen in our homes sometimes. That happen with friends sometimes and churches. Hello? Let's go. Now, those things, what do you do with them? How do you handle them as Christians? Now, Bible does not list all of them, but they are available. Hello? Now, let me first of all say this. Whatever Christ Jesus does not say specifically and clearly, whatever the apostles don't spend time on, they are not usually major. You hear what you said? Whatever you don't hear Jesus say something over and over again, or the apostles Peter, James, and John don't spend time on them, they're really major or they're really minor. Say that one more time. Whatever that Jesus does not kind of put his emphasis on, or the apostles don't in the epistles, it's not that major. Like now, for instance, Christ never discussed anything about hairdo. Neither the apostles in the way that's emphasizing. So let's go. We're going to look at this chapter and we're going to think about it and run through it. Now, go back to Message Bible. Look at verse 2. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't say things. So now, don't call them unbelievers if they differ with you about clothes, shoes, earrings, and cool. Let's go further. Next verse. Next thing. Next. Let's go to the next one quickly. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Let's look at it. Huh? Okay, so, see, sometimes you learn how to live in peace. Some things you don't agree with. Some things they say, even don't jump all over them, criticize them because you don't agree with it, when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith. Now, see, sometimes Christians can be so much emphatic about something that's not really important as far as your faith is concerned. It won't affect your prayer life. It won't affect your future. It won't affect your destiny. So it's not that so important. You know, sometimes you look as if it's important, but it's not important. If they ask you to answer certain questions in the exam hall, and they said three questions will carry 90 marks, and one question or two or three will carry 2 marks each, where should we spend your time? All right, let's look at those kind of things. Let's go to the next verse. Next word. Next one. All right, let's go. Can you make it nice? It's becoming difficult for us. Let's go back. Can we go back a little bit? Can we go back? Because you are enlarging it. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Uh-huh. Next one. They have their own history to... Can you make it... Let's because you are making it big. Doesn't sound very well. Okay, give us the way it is so that we can read it like that. Good. Okay, so he said, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way they do. You do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. All right. You see, somebody can be so emphatic about jewelry and co. because maybe before they came to Christ, all their confidence is in that. Are you hearing me? Sometimes their upbringing affects the way they are. Let me give you an example. See, somebody who has been brought up in with opulence and luxury can't see anything flying first class and enjoy real, serious, great things. And some other ones that grew up in Toku, we think that, you can't just, you're wasting God's money. Is that what I'm saying? So sometimes your upbringing affects the way you look at things. Hello? Are we here? For instance, my wife and I, we brought up differently. I grew up in a house where there are so many of us that things are rationed. She grew up in a house where there are only two of them with her mom, and they enjoy best things of Ibadan, Kingsway and Co. I never knew what Kingsway was. Hello? So, we usually have some classes when it comes to testing things. This is high quality. No, it's cheaper. Are we hearing me? Are we listening? Okay, so he said, now let's look at, so your history is there, treat yourself gently, all right? Let's go, next verse, beautiful. For instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything on the table. Hello? You know, those days, Christians were quite opinionated about what they eat. For instance, he said, with a different background, might assume all Christians should be vegetarians and eat accordingly. Let me make you laugh. You see, in Germany, they drink beer, but they don't smoke. Now, in America, they smoke, they don't drink beer. Now, some German Christians, there are some non-alcoholic beer. So, So some of these German Christians were sitting down around the table, and then one of them said, American Christians, they so smoke too bad that I cry over my beer. You didn't get the joke. You hear what I'm saying? Some Christians say, you should not touch wine at all. Some drink wine. Huh? I know a man of God who his father was alcoholic. He can't stand anything about wine. He won't take it. If anybody walking around him, he's going to be in trouble. And some other ones, they grew up with wine around their houses. Hello? Let me make you laugh. I got a friend one time that he had this German beer that was no alcoholic. I went to his house, my friend. And then he said, Brusty, let's eat. So they have this beer, non-alcoholic. There's no alcoholic at all in it. He said, can you drink? I said, I'm not drinking. It's beer. I'm not drinking. He started drinking. I look at him. I said, thank you. Are you hearing me? Now, that's going to be some controversy tonight. So you can see, that's not trouble. So some Christians say, we should eat anything on the table, we should eat anything, we should drink everything. There's some other Christians say, no, you don't do that. You don't go that way. And both of us have our strong convictions. Are you listening? Are you hearing me? I'm not drinking that beer. He's drinking that. I'm not doing that. I'm not drinking that wine. You don't drink that wine. You know? Can I make you laugh? Somebody years ago gave us a bottle of wine. So I put it in our kitchen. Big. It's nice looking. So I never knew it was 30% alcohol. So my friends, and you know my friends are ministers. They're not crooks. One of them was Jew, one was a pastor. So they came to my house and I said, let me entertain you. And I brought that to the one, put it on the table, and started drinking. If I mention the person's name, all of you know him in town. So he said, Reverend T, something's doing my leg. Oh, I said, what? He said, When we open, and I look at the body, what is it? 50? 50 or? 50%. I said, pardon me, they have drunk a lot. Work by you, the pastor, you know. And they didn't go to hell next minute, you know. Oh, boy. Wonderful. So, it's on the table. As a Christian, you must know how to move around with people and learn how to handle yourself. And then we're going to look at this chapter to see how to be more egalitarian, how to see things better, how to be a world-class Christian, not just a local Christian. So wherever you go, you can actually survive. You're not moved by what you see. Let's go on next verse. Take a look. But since both who eat or who drink wine, don't drink wine, both who eat meat, those who don't eat vegetables, like now somebody said, should we eat meat from Ilea? Some Christians say, just bless it and eat. Some say, don't touch it. But both of them are guests at Christ's table. Wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Hello? Since I want to see the word, that person is a guest at Christ's table. You're also a guest at Christ's table. You are welcome. Thou preparest a table for us, praise of our enemies. So you must understand that Christians are not always the ideology of what you follow and see. Are you hearing me? You're going to have to let God determine what you are going to believe in. But inside of you, there are different convictions. Let's go step further. All right. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are crossing to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. Now, you should not be going around trying to control and correct everybody you meet. You don't have to start struggling with them. Many people don't understand this. Some things are not so clear in the Bible. You don't waste your time. Just walk away. Let's go and read it in a normal Bible. Let's start from verse 2. Okay, let's go to verse 2. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eat only vegetables. Next verse. Look at next verse. Let not him who eat despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eat, for God has received him. Do you see that in your Bible? So when it comes to what you, Laolu, what are you doing here? Are you Laolu? Can you go out? Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm doing my job. Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, so let him who eat despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eat, for God has received him. Let's go to the next verse. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master, he stands or fall. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Now, when somebody, listen carefully, when somebody goes to eat and you think you should not be eating that, like somebody who thinks that because you use mascara, you use air something on your head, you are not going to make heaven. Just laugh. Don't argue with them. Are you here? Just don't argue with them. Why? Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. See, the issue here is not about attacking people and making and writing stuff on them. Now, listen, this is the problem. If I come in here now, use all kind of mascara, and I begin to prophesy, you feel like I say, no, I should not prophesy. Those who are conservative, we don't wear anything like that. But God can use both of us. We are both God's servants. Does that make some sense? God is big enough to take us. All right. Okay, so let's go through it again one more time. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, I know some of you are feeling very funny. You think I'll come today and say, all those who don't use mascara, they are going to hell, right? So I'll be on your side. God said, look, it's not about taking side. These are convictions. Are you hearing me? There are personal opinions that are not written out in the Bible. But Christ never said, my disciples, thou shalt paint your face every day of the week. He didn't say, my disciples, don't ever paint your face. Don't ever use powder. Right? Did he ever say that? Did Peter ever write that? Woman, mascara is ungodly. And Paul said, me too, I agree. Is that your Bible? No, it's not. You know, the trouble we have today is that many of us don't read the Bible anymore. So we don't know which is important or which is not important. Clear? Thank you. Let's go a step further. Let's go. Next verse. One person esteems, let's go, let's add more to it. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced where? In his own mind. Wow, wow, wow. This is fantastic. So, see that word? Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, certain areas, you cannot influence people's conviction. Have you noticed? Those who are against trousers, they never change their mind. Have you noticed that? They hardly do, except this kind of person. One man, years ago, he was in this church where the founder was a woman. The founder, you know, First Square Gospel Church. How many of you know First Square Gospel Church? The woman was, the founder was Sister Emmy Semple McPherson. She dressed very well. She does like Hollywood style. Something else. Now, she said First Square. But people started joining First Square. Now, there was this man, a Nigerian pastor, who joined First Square, who believes that anybody who has beard is a communist. So, Shola, who else has bread over here? Okay, who else? Yeah, at the back, you are a communist. You don't belong in the house of God. And then second, women should not wear men's clothes. Women should not wear trousers and coat. So, he traveled with his wife to Germany, and it was winter. And then the woman wore this, sorry, what that was. They were so sharp, you know. You know. Hello. And then she kind of thing. Then when coach don't catch her, she had to borrow her neighbor's trousers to go and buy her own with her husband in Germany. When the man came back to Nigeria, he never spoke anything about her anymore. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. So somebody says, Sunday is the holy day of God. You must not do anything on Sunday. Somebody said, every day is the holy day of God. I can do anything I want to. So if I open my shop on Sunday, I'm not unholy. Huh? Babcock people, Seventh-day Adventists, everything shut down. Huh? He say, every Saturday or Sunday, you should not do anything. And then some other one says, oh boy, let's go to different places and enjoy themselves. So you don't say, according to this one now. See, you can say, one day is holy or one day is not holy. Thank God. One more thing. Bad day. Oh, my bad day. Some other people, bad day, not anything to them. Like people like us. Some other one, if you don't remember their bad day, you have committed crime against the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But bad day, nobody talk about bad day in the Bible except Herod, who was telling his bad day and called the Herod John the Baptist. Enough about bad day. But what do I do in church? Yeah, but you know, because though I don't like so much bad day, I will celebrate people. So we put cake over here, get a body over here, and rejoice together. And if you don't like bad day, don't come out and don't eat the cake. And if you like bad day, come and eat the cake double. For instance, right now, bad day is a big thing to us. Some years ago, in the 70s, those days was not anything. Am I right, sir? Bad day was not anything. But now, bad day. I mean, people will write on Facebook, and I just laugh. They say, another year of grace. I say, which other year before? You know grace? You know, I just wonder. It's a special day. For me, you know, for instance, if you go to Saudi Arabia now, you can't meet on Sunday. So Sunday is not a holy day like that. So what are you going to do? Oh, am I making some sense? Okay, let's look at next verse then. He who observed the day, observe it to the Lord. Okay, you celebrate your birthday, praise the Lord, God has one more, and then we pray for you, right? And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. It's not being ungrateful to God, not celebrating how far he has come these 365 days. Because, as far as he's concerned. Now, he who eats, eats to the Lord. He who drinks, drinks to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He who does not eat to the Lord does not eat and gives God thanks. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you can see Paul bringing about, and you notice something about all these things he mentioned, two examples. They are all physical things. They are all about outward life. They are not about spiritual or heavenly things. They are down here. Like bad day, like food, like clothes. Those things are on this planet. They are here to be used and dumped. Making some sense? Whether you do long air or short air, they're just air. They have no spiritual connotation. You making some sense? You know, one time, women will palm their hair. Remember palmy? How many remember palmy? They go on that thing and get their head, you know, under oven and roasted. They will roast the hair. Oh, that's not true. That's not true. They roast it. Am I right? It's roasting. Then they put some gel on it. They look quite like that. Now everybody just doing, you know, they just do all kinds of things now. If I want to preach on that, I keep on changing all the time. And when you do your hair, you thank God. When you cut it, one of my guests just cut her head down like Ezekiel. She said, Mom, see, I've cut my hair. Oh! I said, you look like a secondary school girl. Well, for me, I really don't bother. It's not. See, they're outward. They're outside. We have bigger things to deal with. For instance, one of our kids said, I want to do tattoo. What? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I said, tattoo or tattoo? I said, I really don't care. I really don't care. Pastor, how can you say that? It's just physical. It's just natural. It's just here on earth. And people are different. I know, you know, some people, they have chains on their hand. They have chains on their neck. They have chains on their nose. They have chains on their legs. They are chaining. Are you hearing me? Some of us, we don't want anything. If I don't want wristwatch on me, you see, this is all I want. But one time I was using chain. Can you imagine that? One time I could do that. But I just don't really bother. Whatever you want to do, you see, we should not classify people and say, oh, because it doesn't use anything, it must just be SU, so serious, kind of a thing. Huh? But I'm not using, oh, I want to use anyone. No. People are living at different stages of life and different convictions. You won't believe this. There was a time I would never wear shorts. I would never wear shorts. My wife said I should buy shorts. I said, I'm not wearing shorts. One time, I never wore sandals. Now I got sandals now. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Pastor, did God convince you? Don't waste your time on that. Don't waste your time on that. One day, just dawned on me that when you wear shorts, there's nothing to cover your leg and make you feel hot. And you can roam around easily in your house. No, I never wore shorts outside. I never saw knickerbocker. Huh? I never wore a bada. Nothing wrong with it. But just for me, to just carry that thing makes me look like somebody who's coming from nowhere. Huh? You know, you see, all of us have our different things we're going to have to learn to do. And then we learn how to cut across people and culture. Does that make some sense to us? So we're talking about when Christians differ. And we're going to be talking about different what we eat, what we wear, where we go, what we do. Are you hearing me? Like some Christian believe, you must never leave your country. That's your Jerusalem. Some of them believe that the world is your own. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. They want to move around and enjoy themselves. For instance, per se, I don't so much enjoy traveling. For the first 9 years of my pastor, of my ministry life, I was traveling, go to all kinds of places. And I just go down there, put up with anything. After I became a pastor, I just started settling down. My wife loves to travel. So I told her, you know what? Let's start. You go vacation, I go staycation. Vacation. So you're going to go and you spend the money, I keep my own. You know, the people are different. So whatever you choose, you give thanks there. And don't let anyone oppress you to put you into a box. Huh? Let's look at next verse. Okay, look at next verse. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. So you have to know this first, that you are not just your own. Yeah, you have your preferences. You have this life you are living. But primarily, live for Jesus. Say that with me. I will live for Jesus every day. And whatever you have chosen to do, let it glorify God. Hallelujah. Whatever does not glorify God in your life. Now, I am not saying what somebody else tells you you should do to glorify God. Are you hearing me? Some people, they believe they must not eat meat because meat is contributing to carbon dioxide increase, and it's a bad thing to do right now. It's called carbon something. I forget now. So it's not certain things. Hello? Let me make you laugh. You don't like all this. Our house has cockroaches and some of these other things, spider webs. They're your house too, right? No matter how much you clean it, they just come up kind of a thing. Sometimes they are walking around the room. I have to say, kill it. I say, let it, it's about symbiosis. Let them just enjoy themselves. Hello? My wife said, what's it? I say, this is ecosystem. You know? I'll be chasing this one, chasing that one, chasing one spider. You know, just sitting, walking out, cockroach. Hey, you are welcome. But I'm chasing something, I'm going to get myself injured. I don't have time. But we still kill them. Hello? But for me, a lot of this, don't even really bug me. But primarily, let's live for the Lord. Is that all right? Live for the Lord. Don't major on things that are just divisive. No, not the divisive, that are just opinion. One of the things that helped me as a pastor over the years is to accommodate people, not to just emphasize the differences. Are you hearing me? In fact, I told myself, I want to stay with the Alaka ways alone. You know why? So I just use only English. That helps us demarcate. So we'll come in over here and they see, Ubo, Ubo, boy. Ah, just here. So they won't come here because I don't speak Yoruba. They won't come here. Next verse. Let's look at it. For if we live, what do? We live to the Lord. And if we die, we are still the Lord's own. Praise God. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to who? Oh, thank you. I want us to emphasize this. As Christians, what should be our major, major preoccupation is with our life with the Lord Jesus. And please, Jesus is not nitty-picky. Are you hearing me? Jesus doesn't care whether you put earrings there or you put earrings there. Jesus is universal. Jesus is great. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus cannot be locally oriented. He can't think like an Igbo man or Yoruba man or Hausa man. He's above that. Clap your hands for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, certain good in Hausa, certain good in Yoruba, certain good in Igbo. We will use all those things, but it will not emphasize our point of differences. Is that all right? That's why you can go anywhere in the world and enjoy their presence. So make this your point. I'm going to live for the Lord. And when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. Somebody said, you know, all women who wear all these attachments, we saw them in hell being packed with silver. Now tell them, they went to hell. I'm going to heaven. By the way, but pastor, they were wearing attachment in hell. Amazingly. How could we even get to that level of thinking? Because your body, when you die, is buried. To get to heaven and find attachment is looking for something that is not here. Because the body is buried and the body rots in the grave. So if you find attachment in hell, it's not hell, it's somewhere else. Hmm? Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I want you to emphasize the life of Christ in us, not the different opinions that we have. It will happen between husband and wife, parents and children, because every generation has their own way of doing things. For instance, when I was growing up, nothing like cryptocurrency. When I was growing up, there were only three or four banks. First Bank, Union Bank, and what? UBA was not that. Afribank. I don't remember Afribank. Huh? Now, they said, I should open for a bank that doesn't have any office on my phone. Like Baga. Oh, praise the Lord. Or, you know, open or something. But I have to start using them, but I'm smart with that, you know. It's a different world we are living in. Oh. Once the time that when I was growing up, we take phone like this, and we do like this, and we do like this, and we do like this, we do like this, we do like this. What's that? Magical phone. Then when you grow like that, then it rings, then we pick it up. If you don't like it, then we bang it on the floor. Are you hearing me? Then those days, before you call abroad, you have to go to Kelewo, land up in Nitel, then they will ring it for you. Those days, when we want to have our email, we go to somewhere to go and collect our email, they put them in boxes. Huh? We go and collect our email. Huh? I wonder how we survived without phone then. But we did well. And life is better and better. Those days, nobody knows all everything about you. But now, Moloa, oh yeah, turn on your video. You go. You know, sometimes I even get, you put on, you say location, I block it. Don't follow me around. I thought it was a good thing until later I found out that, what's happening? These guys are monitoring everywhere. You go somewhere and say, welcome to Abeokuta. Me, you'll be the lower. But that's what we are living in now. And then learning how to make the best use of it. Don't forget, the Lord matters most. These are just what we use in this world. Next verse, quickly. I'm not talking about when we differ. Now, let's go now. For to this end, see, it's putting importance on this. Christ. Look. See, even our children today, they may not do the way we are doing things. Hello. I want to help parents here. And those who are parents, you know, please, even those who are young ones too, your children will do it to you. So don't think that you're doing it to us. We're born, we're not, what you know? Huh? Recently, one of my girls, you know, she said, I was giving her money. She said, Daddy, you are great. I'd say, you did it to somebody else. I was coming for you too. I'm just giving you an example how to do it well. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So the primary purpose of our Christian faith, which is more important than Jesus is your master and your Lord. And whatever you are choosing, do it along with him. Is that all right? Wherever you want to go, do it along with him. Not with the whole world. And if you're an adult, not with somebody else controlling your life. Of course, if you're a son or a daughter in the home, they can tell you some boundaries. Are you hearing me? But even those boundaries are disappearing today. Are you hearing me? Okay, let's look at next verse. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go back to Message Bible from verse 6. Message Bible. Let's read Message Bible. What is important in all this is that if you keep a holy day, keep it for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it for the glory of God. And thank God for prime rib. And if you are a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God. And thank God for Eforiru. Are you hearing me? That's broccoli. Eforiru. Okay, next verse. Let's go on. Next verse. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. You can't say, everybody must do this in these matters. Next verse. Okay? It's God we are answerable to. All the way from life to death and everything in between. Not to each other. Praise God, somebody. You see, I don't like church where the pastors monitor everything you do with your life. It's not fair asking you, where are you going? Where are you investing? What are you doing with your money? It's none of the pastor's business. You must know where authority stops. If you are working in a place and you are the boss, you can't be telling them how to live their life, morally speaking. If you are working in an office and your boss is a womanizer, it's none of your business. Nobody. You are not the pastor, so don't pastor him. Are you hearing me? Don't tell your boss. Girlfriend, meta. Are you going to say hell me? Why you tell me I go to hell? He will give you hell first, Osaki. Are you hearing me? Now, if it's your friend, you can start thinking of how to pray for him and to address him quite well. But you can just tell your boss or even your colleague at office and start doing all kinds of things and talking. Because at the end of the day, you are answerable for the job at hand, not for your morality at work. Am I making some sense? So you know our limits. And also, at the same time too, I should not go to workplace and force my faith on people. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't say, because I'm the boss here, I see universities doing that. So this university is in Nigeria. You say, if you are going to work here, you're going to be in our church. And what will I do? I will say I'm in your church. I'll go somewhere, it's low top, but I'm not. Some people will lie to us. Are you here, everybody? Are you here, everybody? So that is the question there. Let's go a step further. Next verse. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death. You know, one of the greatest things for me as a Christian is that I'm living as a Christ at different life stages. I'm not alone when I'm old. I'm not alone when I'm young. I'm not alone when I'm single. I'm not alone when I'm married. I'm not alone when I'm separated, when I'm divorced, when I've lost my spouse. I'm not alone. I'm taking a journey with Christ through life. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And then that's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death. You know, I was staging in my life that I'll drink Coke. I don't drink Coke anymore now. Huh? You know, those days, you buy me a big ice cream like this. Ice cream, I enjoyed. Then the time came that I can't eat that anymore. Like once in a while, I still want to taste it. Remember the good old days? And I want to turn around. Because yeah, I have to take care of that. So enjoy your stage. Hello? See, why, how many of you have ever seen a child at home sitting down and doing like this? See, what's going on? About that, about Gabon. About the coup d'etat in Gabon. What will you say to that child? He could care less about Gabon. If he's shooting, he will take his own gun to wishing. That's what you do. He's enjoying his own stage of life. And some of you don't enjoy single life at all. You just keep on crumbling until you are married. You know, when you are single, go anywhere, enjoy yourself.
Pastor, I don't have anybody. You have Jesus, you have yourself. Take yourself out. You know what I mean? Just live life. Enjoy. Don't always do like that. I want the Lord is with you. Amen. Amen. Pastor, no, the Lord is not with me. I'm lonely. I'm just tired. See, when you are married, you find that you are more lonelier than ever before. But when your wife doesn't see, or your husband doesn't see the way you are thinking about it. Huh? Just enjoy your life. Every stage, Christ is there for us. Oh, Pastor, until I become a boss. See, when you are just the person working on that list, you can close. Amara. When you are the boss, you never close. You never close. Huh? Oh, Pastor. No, I just want to be married and have children. You see, every time when they say, we have baby in church. I thought to my wife, I say, school fees. You know, oh, gracious goodness. You know, this guy can become a laughing matter. You know, my kids now, they have two children this year. And then all of them, I say, we don't know. You know? I said, Baba, you go to this, Baba, you go to this. I'm like, not Baba, it's not Baba now. You know, that's the way life is. But thank God, the Lord is with you. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Amen. Every one of us, we have abundant packet of grace to live this life, so that it could be our master across the entire range of life and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. See that? You want to see that? People want to just kind of keep you under their own, put you under their own box. You know, just be free. I'm not saying that in the sense of badness that, you know, people just want to just put it in their own box. But land will be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some people, they worry for singles a lot. They say, Baoloma marry. After they marry, Baoloma bimo. After they bimo, Baoloma, Baoloma, Baoloma. Leave me alone, man. Just let me be free. Praise God. Praise God. So don't let that kind of petty tyranny over clothes. You go somewhere. My wife went to one place to go. Abikuta here. She went for this wedding ceremony in a church. And then she got down there. They won't let her enter because she didn't cover anything on her head. And these women, they were the keepers of the truth in their church. Am I right? They were the door. You know, you can't pass. So even you have to give you a handkerchief like this and do like this to enter. That's a petty Christ. What's the one I want to use for God? That kind of miniature God who's looking at you with glove story. You know, it's petty. I mean, can you imagine the God of the universe saying, clear all the way? Say, finger, I need a gun, I'm gugun. You know, can you imagine? God can be that petty, you know? You can have it as long as you want to. Just don't hurt me. Don't scratch me with it, you know? You know, that's not the thing. I mean, no decency, law of decency. But I don't think God's that kind of person. Hallelujah. So, petty tyrannies of each other, we must be free from it. You go somewhere, they blast you, they call you all kinds of names. Just calm down. Oh, sometimes you look like that. I remember when I was in medical school. One day, I went to the hazard and emergency in Luft. And that time, we were younger. The older ones are leaving universities. And we are younger ones are coming in, 18-year-old, 17-year-old, we enter university. When I enter university, or the old curriculum, they look as big. They could be baba in medical school. So we just coming in. And one day, I was in an emergency. This is the way I look now, the way I look there. I look like a tiny. So when I entered, I saw these people, they are older people, they were talking, they are Yorubas. And I just put a telescope around my neck to attend to the patient. Then they said, oh my God, okay. What is the doctor? I am a badger. Hey, they didn't know I was here in Yoruba. When I finished, I said, Bobon Teso, and I just walked off. You know, don't let your life issues limit. You all right? Is that all right? Hallelujah. People have their classes and their assumptions of how to live life. That's okay for them. But you should not push on everybody. Let's go to the next verse quickly. Our time is running. So where does that leave you when you criticize a brother? And where does that leave you when you condescend to a sister? I say it leaves you looking pretty silly or worse. Eventually, we are all going to end up kneeling side by side in the place of judgment, facing God. Your critical and condescending way aren't going to improve your position there one bit. See, one of the things you have to learn to do, don't let anybody else kind of put you under their own kind of mold. Let's go to Luke 18. I hope I'm correct. This can even happen in the place of prayer. Luke 18. I hope I'm correct. About that, the Pharisee and the publican praying. Remember the story? Is it Luke 18? Let's go and see it. All right. Remember the story that they came to Jesus, they said to justify themselves? Is it Luke 18? If you remember the story, two men came to Christ. They went to the place of prayer. Let me find it. Is it 13? Okay. Oh, my. I can't find the story now. He said, some of these men, they pray to justify themselves against others. Have you found it? The Pharisees and then the publican. Both of them were praying. Huh? Luke 18. All right, so I'm correct then. Let's know where it is. Verse 10. Are you sure? Great, you are right. Two men. Okay, let's look at verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. One of the things I'm really coming at today is that stop looking down, judging people. Now, you don't use mascara. Don't judge others. You use mascara, don't look down on them either. Is that all right? That's what you call elegance in Christian living. You don't quickly use what they look or don't look like to determine who they are. Let's keep on reading. The two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Let's keep reading. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like, I'm not like other men. It's already in the box. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as these tax collectors beside me. Look at next verse. And I fast twice a week. I give tithes for that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, will not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to see something over here. And that's what was mentioned in Romans 14, that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It can be really great and kind of air of superiority when you stand before God and rating your life based upon others. For instance, oh, praise the Lord. Let's give thanks to God that we are alive today. Some are in the hospital. They are sick now. Is there anything wrong with them? Is that because they are bad? No. You must not do that. We must not rate ourselves based upon others. We must rate ourselves before the Lord. I should not go before God and be rating my wife. I am not the judge on the throne. You know, I heard something yesterday. This is a little bit politically hot. They were talking about they're going to give judgment a presidential tribunal tomorrow. And then this particular lawyer came, all of us know the lawyer, famous lawyer, Falana. And he said, this is becoming divisive. He said, some people are saying that except the judge give judgment according to their own way, the country will go up in flames. You know, you don't do that. You don't go to court and tell the judge to judge according to you. You're no longer the judge, you are the judge now. So God is the one we all stand before. I know you're not expecting this today. I'm going to judge them. I want to kill you. No. I'll tell you where you can judge people, where we can deal with people. I'll show you a minute. Let's go back to Romans chapter 14. Okay, we're in verse 10, right? We're in verse 10. We're reading the Message Bible. Let's look at. We are not here. Verse 10. Let's go to verse 10. In Message Bible. Okay, all right. Okay, we have read this one. Verse 10 now. Okay, verse 11. Read it for yourself in Scripture. As I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will tell the honest truth, I only am God. You know, my greatest desire of every human, which is Christian lifestyle, is to see that each person get better before God. When I come into your life, as you live your life better, spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, financially, maritally, as you let you be better off, are you hearing me? That's the way we should face life and whoever we are meeting, whether one bori or one bori, are you hearing me? Whether they talk in our tribe language or not in our tribe language, every person we meet should experience the amen to that. Somebody say amen to that. Okay, so now God is the only one who judges us. And when I go to my Christian life, I must not be spending my time. I thank God I'm not like that. I'm not like that church. No. No, that's not what's important. What about your life now before God? How are you living your life before God? That's what matters. When Christians differ. Let's read further. So tend to your knitting. You know what your knitting? You've got your hands full. Just taking care of your own life before God. One of the reasons why this country is not doing well, we are busy about others' lives. Are you hearing me? I was saying last week Tuesday, I said, I wish all of us would go abroad. You know why I say we go abroad? When you go abroad, you don't know the person next door to your neighbor, to your flat. They may not even greet you. They don't care. They have things to do. If you ask for direction, they'll say, check your Google. One of the things that you must learn how to take care of your life. You see, Nigeria here, we are really busy. We are following everything up, every trending thing. That's what I'm reading. So tend to your knitting. Tend to your own life. You've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. See, Tinubu goes somewhere, come over here. We are all busy about our leaders, our stuff. And I know that in a country where we are living like this, do you know what? Let me surprise you. My wife, I went to UK, I went to US. My wife went sometimes to spend about a month or two in UK, in US with her daughter. Guess what? She said she never watched TV. She never watched, they never have time. They don't have to be like this. They don't have time. She said CNN, it could all move. Can you imagine that? They don't really have time. What's the cello? Then you come back, you have to upgrade your knowledge and learn more. You have to go for another course. Hello? But Nigeria, we go to the office and put on African magic and just watch. Ever since me, Ryan. Say any change, could see change. Huh? So you know what? As a pastor, I could be so busy in this town, I don't have time for church. I know some people like that. They are always, you know, they are always, they are a pastor and they appear to another pastor. Serious. Set all this up. One time they offer me something. I said, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I don't have time. One time, one boy in the Bible, his name is Abimelech. This, how many of you know Gideon in the Bible? How many of you know Gideon in the Bible? Gideon has 70 children. And he had a son by a concubine called Abimelech. And he wanted power so bad, he killed all his brothers. But one escaped called Jotham. And he gave us a parable. Think about that parable. This parable said this. The boy said, you are looking for king, right? He said, the forest trees gather together. And they said, we want to make a ruler over us. And they went to mango tree. I said, mango tree, be our ruler. He said, I don't have time. I'm producing mango fruit for the whole world to enjoy as far as Brazil. I couldn't have time. He said, they went to purple tree. Purple, can you be our ruler? He said, I'm sorry. I'm producing a purple. People to enjoy all over the world. Then they went down to orange. Orange said, look, I'm busy making fruit for people to enjoy. Then they went to Egun. You know what Egun? Thistles and thorns. He said, you like to be our leader? No, he said, no. I don't have time now. So he became their ruler. See, in those days, those who are made leaders don't seek leadership. They go and grab them and force them. Nobody. They go grab them and force them to be leaders. See, Americans, somebody like SEO or something like that. These guys, they were powerful and mighty. They go and beg them to come and take care of this country. See, I don't have time. I'm busy. Like Moses did. Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. God had to talk to him and convince him. He said, God, I can't talk. I can't go. God had to get angry. Are you hearing me? But do you know, I know one big church in Nigeria. The first three churches in Nigeria, that church will qualify there. And one of their big guys left. And they called two people in and said, look, your guys, your guy has left. And then they asked them, who should we make Oga next? That other person was sitting beside him. He was shocked to see, Emenike in your next. Emilokun. I mean, in church, you should not do that. Why? Our hands will be full running our lives. Praise God, somebody. That's why we are not rich over here and have a lot of influence. Because we are not tending to our lives. We are not working on our lives. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. So, take care of your life before God. Next verse. Forget about deciding what is right for each other. See, all people are talking, women should not wear, men should not wear. They should forget that. Rather, here is what you need to be concerned about. That you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. Do you see that now? Are you getting this sense? So, your greatest principle in life is not to be going around checking who is not eating or who is not keeping Sabbath. You should be that. How can I remove stumbling blocks from their way so they can really progress? Hallelujah. See, I must be thinking about my wife more. How you can make progress in life. How you can make progress in life. How you can move forward. If you do that, a society will rise, become big society in life. Just imagine all of us get on social media to help each other. What will it be like? Just imagine all of us on Instagram to see that your life move forward. What would the world be like? It's going to be heaven. One more time. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about. That you don't get in the way of someone else making life more difficult than it is already. How can I help my children more? How can I help my parents more? How can I make life less difficult for them? And brothers, sisters, life is difficult. How many of you agree with me? Things are stressful, things are hard. How can I help you to live life better? How can I encourage you the more? Praise God, somebody. Let's all of us have that thing in church. We will not see eye to eye and have the same opinion on everything. But, praise the Lord, somebody. Next verse. I'm using this Bible to make it clear. I'm convinced. Now, I love this verse. Give us, first of all, in NKJV. Give us verse 13 and verse 14. 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. But rather resolve this. This make your resolution. Not to put a stumbling block or a curse to fall in our brother's way. Are you hearing me? Is that making some sense? Next verse. This will blow your mind. I know I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. Powder, trousers, mascara, long hair, short hair, no hair. But to him who consider him to be unclean, to him is what? See that verse in the Bible? If you think coffee is no good for you, just for you. And it's not going to be good for you. You see, that's why today I'm really weary of all these people that come around. This one should not eat. That one should not eat. That I was just telling my wife today, they find something to make people last longer and they won't age more. And I was shocked. They said that particular antioxidant can only work better with sugar. Now we have condemned sugar all along. Am I right? Then I said that sugar is part of that. I said, Okpari, there's nothing wrong in itself. There's nothing wrong in sugar. There's nothing wrong in cocaine. Oh, now that's trouble. There is nothing wrong in cocaine. It's how you put it that's destroying you. Some of these things they call morphine. That's addictive, doctor. Yes, sir. Some of them they use them very high power morphine for people that are having terminal pain in the hospital. But when you take it as addiction, that's something that's different. Huh? Or Repta has alcohol in it. I hope you know. It's called blood alcoholic tonic. But to him who consider anything to be unclean, let's read the Message Bible, verse 14, quickly. Message Bible. Take a look. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. Oh, no, tattoo. Huh? Ah, tattoo is bad. How can I be doing that on the skin? Hey, no. What's about it? I don't do tattoo, but if you tattoo your hand, I belong to Jesus. Kudos to you. But I don't really know. And what about hygienic or no hygienic? You know, that's not my concern. And my wife used to fry her hair, you know. It never bothered me. I don't fry my own. You know, she's tired now. She doesn't fry anymore. You know, she does her hair once in a while. She just throws everything. She said, can I go like that? I said, you are free. You're free. Praise God. So my husband will say, no, you must always wear, you must always. I told her, she's old. She's 50 something plus now. Huh? Are you hearing me? I'm telling her, my daddy, my wife, my uncle, my uncle, my jelly, my jelly, my jelly, my jelly, my jelly. Some churches do that from their members. Are you going to do something? It's a life difficult. There's nothing unholy in itself. Isn't that interesting? Read it again one more time. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can what? Contaminate it. Okay, all right, let's keep on going. We're talking about our minor differences that's not emphasized in the Bible. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, what they wear or they don't wear, whatever they put on or don't put on, you're no longer a companion with them in love. Are you? This, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. Will you risk sending them to hell over an item in their, over the air they wear? Praise God. Somebody said, people need to hear this. That's why I'm telling you. That these are things that are not important, that are not major, and we should live our life such a way that we are above them. Somebody say amen to that. Next verse. Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food, become an occasion of soul poisoning. What does that mean? It means that we are so concerned and all tidy up over powder that powder that God made to be used becomes a problem for us. Praise God. Is that all right? Somebody said, today's teaching is one kind. Yeah, because we have to go out there in the world. We live with other Christians, and what do we do with them? And we just be nice to them. And just walk off and don't make any issue. Remember our first verse? Give us, this is verse what now? Verse 16. Give us verse 1 again. I'm trying to lay this down so you can see it in a bigger way. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Teach them how? Gently. That's what I'm trying to say today. Anywhere you go. You see a Christian, you don't wear trousers. They wear trousers. Don't go limp on them and criticize and call them all kind of names for what you're wearing. You should not do that. Don't even make it a matter of importance. Hallelujah. Back to verse 16, right? Or where are we? Okay, verse 17 now. Now, I love this. Now, it says, become kingdom-minded. Say that with me. Becoming kingdom-minded is my ultimate meet him as a Christian. Now, what's that? God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach or what you put on your skin or what you put on your face or what you swallow or with the house you live in or the kind of car you drive. That's not the kingdom of God. What is it? For goodness sake, it is what God does with your life as he sets your life right and put it together in peace and complete with joy. It's called righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise God, somebody. You see, it is what God does with your life as he set it right. That you are living great life as a child of God, as a husband, as a wife, as parent, as a child, as a worker, as a friend, as a colleague. You are living that kind of life and you are putting your life together. You are not scattered. You are not pissed up. You are not stressed out. Praise God. That's what we call Christian faith. And then you are also enjoying it together and complete with joy. The greatest thing about a Christian is the joy that they have. It's our greatest advertisement that we are cool, calm, and collected. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. That's it. It's not how we look. You know somebody? One time, these Christians, no earrings, and they are tied their turban, and they were cheating the exam hall. That's not right. So, we should live like this. God setting our life right and then putting to what peace. God, we are not worrying about things and we live a life of joy. Carry all joy in all our situations. Look at next verse. I love this. I love next verse. Our task, your task is to singularly serve Christ. Do that. Look at it. Do that and you will kill two birds with one stone. You are pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. As you are living your life in the right way, you're doing the right thing, and God's putting your life together, all the pieces you are working together, they can look at your life and say, wow, God's, and you are in joy no matter what happens to you. Then God is pleased with your life, and those who are around can see, this is a worldly fellow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Imagine that you go around in your office preaching Christ and causing condemnation to everybody, and then you're always broke and borrowing money. Your life is not. You can't believe it. Praise the Lord. So proving your worth, pleasing God and proving your worth. Pleasing God, say that with me. Pleasing God and proving your worth. Hallelujah. Every child of God, when you live in a place, you're not perfect. But after 5, 6, 7 years, did you see your life turning out well? Did you see that you are getting better, not getting worse? That's where it should be. That's our greatest evangelism and testimony. Hallelujah. Are we here? Are we here? All right, next verse, quickly. Let's put this to some stop. So let's agree. Are we here today? So let's agree to use all our energy in what? In getting along with each other and help others with cutting remarks. Please, I want to beg you. Yeah, come on, Tuesday. I want to beg you. People will be in church. They will have things you don't fully sometimes agree with. Even maybe you don't even like their life so much. But don't cut them with your words. Don't cut them with your words. Like these people, they were in the same church. They were friends. And they called their friend. They said, your car does not befit our group. Haba. You see, I'm a Christian. But you know what I tell them? I won't say it in church. But I'll say it now. To hell with your group. Hello. Praise God. Help others with encouraging words. See, there's something about church. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, if you start attacking each other and attacking others, I will send you out of the church. If you attack me, I'm okay. I'm too big to be attacked. And if you attack me, I'm okay. I can take it. But when you start fighting church members and start calling them every kind of name, you are on the way out. And I'll help you out. Are you hearing me? Start cheating other Christians and collecting their stuff. And I'm going to show you the way out. You can cheat my stuff. I'll put up with it. I'm the pastor. But we start. Remember the king in the Bible that the man owed him about $5 million. And he forgave him. And he walked away. Somebody said, 5,000. He choked his neck. The king said, you are going to prison. You're going to pay every farthing. You see that? So we must now spend time on helping each other. You see Christians who are helping other Christians to do well, God cannot dispense with them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So tell somebody, encourage me. I'll encourage you. Hallelujah. Let's read the next verse quickly. Our time is running. So don't drag them down by finding fault. You are certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at supper to wreck God's work among you. Are you? Let me give you. I was telling my wife today. You know, today you see all kinds of, in the church today, all kinds of denominations. You know, for instance, CAC was with Apostolic Faith, Apostolic Church before. You know, there is agreement why they left, because they said, Bible said you must believe you should not use any drug. So CAC left because of drug. Not use any drug. But later they came and said, you have to use drugs sometimes. They came to see that. So today, you see, Baptists, they say, because baptizing water, not baptizing water, all kinds of things are taking place. We separate. One church, one time, they had a fight. So they separated. This one says, this is what God is saying. That one says, this is what God is saying. And they are not agreeing. So this one says, God won't bless that one. That one says, God won't bless this one. 5 years down the line, they are both blessed. Are you hearing me? Because God is not bothered about all that stuff. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Take a look. He said, I said it before and I say it again. All food is good. Mascara and all. But it can turn bad if you use it badly. If you use it to strip others up, set them spoiling. Now, I can use mascara. I can use my long hair. But if I use it to entice people and take them into all kinds of sin, that is wrong. Do you get that? Is that all right? Verse 21. When you sit down to a meal, your primary concern should not be to feed your own face, but to share the life of Jesus. So be sensitive and courteous to the others who are eating. Don't eat or say or do things that might interfere with the free exchange of love. So love is the best. Is that all right? Are we here? Are we here? Our greatest badge is the badge of love. At home, in our neighborhood, at work, with our colleagues, love is number one. Let's read the last verse. The last verse we're going to read now. So cultivate, this is the summary, cultivate your own relationship with God. But don't impose it on others. I said, I had a vision one time, and God showed me I must never touch gold. You don't need to touch gold. So if I wear wedding ring that's gold, nothing's wrong with me. It's you. Some of this, that's what happened to Deeper Life years ago. I don't know what happened between God and Pastor Kumuyi to say that TV is not important because it can take your time away. But after several years without TV, finally, Papa said, you can watch TV. And some smart guys among them don't have TV, but they have PC. And they watch things on their PC. It's not TV. It's not criminal. All of them told me. So, it's not the same name. PC and TV. And then Baba started saying some things, clarifying and making things better these days. But that time, I knew that it was not the right way. But in Africa, our elders were right. So, cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. You are fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent. I will talk about that word later. Go back. That word. Fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent. See, as a believer, your conviction is to live it. When you don't do that, you have kata-kata dichotomy within you. Are you hearing me? It's called hypocrisy. So, where you are convinced of, that's what you should do. Look at next verse. But if you are not sure, if you notice that you are acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinions on others, other days just trying to please them, then you know that you are out of line. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it is what? It's wrong. Let me give you an example. It's in the book of Galatians chapter 2. Let's go and see it. Peter was showing double face. Let's go and see it. Double face. Peter showing double face. We'll come back and finish. Is that the last verse there? Last verse. Thank you. Let's go to chapter 2 Galatians quickly. Hallelujah. Let's see something over the other way. Help us speak about this quite well. So, if you have had today this teaching, don't go around offending and fighting over what is not. Just walk away. And women should not come. Just walk away. Just walk away. Don't waste your time. Hallelujah. And that brother who's talking against all the women that don't cover their hair, give me some money. You collect it in the name of Jesus. Honestly. You know, it was it the plantees? One pastor was attacking, talking against Buddha. So when he gave some money, that man was really bad. That time, you know. He said, all these sinners, they're going to hell, they're going to get it from them. So the man came and said, sir, I'll give you some money. So he said, for his hand, pastor won't take it. He said, no, you're not taking the money. You said, I'm a sinner. I'm not giving you any combo. I'm a bill of money like that. Would you get it wrong? Kuriba. Chapter 2 Galatians. Are you there? Let's look at verse 11 in NLT. Give us an NLT. I want you to look at this verse so that you know how to live. When Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face. This was Peter, number one, Pope. Am I right? Here was Paul talking about Peter. I opposed him to his face, for what he did was what? Amazing. In the Bible, it's there. Let's keep reading. What did he do that was wrong? When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, these are Jews, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. What was he doing? He was afraid of what? Criticism from these people who insisted on the what? As a pastor, as a minister, as an adult Christian, So you want to flow with everybody. Like if you see a grandpa, he can talk with the grandchildren and talk with the children and his own fellow grandpa. That is mark of civility and adulthood. You should not become opinionated and settle down with. See, he was eating with Gentiles who don't know anything about the law. The moment the other one came, he was afraid. Step aside. Look at what happened next. Next verse. Next verse. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. That happened today. See, people, I'm a parasol. You don't know that in Yoruba? As I say that in English. Anybody can give me the meaning? Okay, be something with words. Be economical with words. That's the best meaning of it. Look at next verse. So when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, are carrying the Jewish law and are living like a Gentile, why are you not trying to make this Gentile follow the Jewish traditions? Are you hearing me? That's why in this city, I refuse to just be on one side. Why? Let's welcome all that are Christians and enjoy life together. Amen? Amen. Let's clap our hands with Jesus. Okay. Now, I've established things that are minor among us. But let's read that place we read again. I know our time is first spent. Let's look at Romans 16 now. There are certain places we have to blow the whistle. Romans 16. Is this 17 now? Romans 16 verse 17. Let's look at it. Give us an NLT. Thank you. Now, I make one more appeal. Everybody look up here. My dear brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Next verse. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By small talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. Now, let me close like this. We'll maybe continue next week if possible. There are people that are having opinions about certain things in Christianity that's not really major. They may say something like mascara and cool. We understand that. But there are certain people that say certain things about Christianity, whether they are Christians or not, that we should avoid. On what basis? On the fundamentals and the foundation of Christian experience. If they begin to doubt that, we must not agree with them. We must stay away from them. We must not join with them. What are these foundations of Christianity that you cannot compromise? Hebrews 6. Let's round up. Now, whatever church you go to, I know you're going to go to places. If you're going to wind up in New Zealand in 3 years time, 5 years time, I don't know where you're going to wind up. How do you know which church and which place they are really Christians? Now, they may have all kinds, like now, you can go to a church where they all wear shorts. My wife went to a church in Canada, Open City Church, where the pastor, a big church, you know, the whites, I love the whites, they're just free. You know, the pastor of the church that preached, just finished preaching, was wearing his jacket and his shirt was coming on it. Are you hearing me? And he carried a backpack and marching through. My wife was showing me the video. She said, that's the pastor going. Hello? Could your pastor at all? My style, you know? I mean, can you imagine wearing a jacket, 60, you're not close, sitting there, and then with backpack, just walking away. That's the pastor. Then you both are like that. I've been to church, Oyibo church, where they wear short to church. See them, just cool. Black. I go to this backpack of our church. That's why we are different. Now, but what used to judge them? That's just taste. So how do you know this Christian? There are certain fundamental things we must never compromise as Christians. Number one, let's go. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, quickly. Wow. So let us stop going over the basic teaching about Christ again and again. Let's go instead and become mature. So we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance. See that word? Fundamental importance. That's our foundation we grow from. If it's not there, there's no house called the church. Fundamental importance. Okay, number one, of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Next verse. And next verse. You don't need a further about baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Okay, now, so let me give you something about Christianity. Number one, if there is a doubt about the person of Christ, it's not a church. You know what you said? Any church you go to that they don't call Jesus the Son of God and is the Lord of the world, that he died, he was buried, and he raised again, that's not church. Any church, any Christian who doubts the integrity of Jesus is not a church, is a cult. Hear what you said? Now, you're going to have to believe that Jesus was born without father on this planet. That he was born by miracle birth. It's called incarnation. If you think that Jesus was born by somebody that was just like a foster father, then, no, that's not Christianity. That's something else that's doing over there. If any kind of Christian faith don't believe that Christ died on the cross and he said his blood for our sin, it's not Christianity. It's something else different. It's a cult. They may gather around the Bible, read some verses, quote some positive messages, but they never emphasize that Christ died, buried, and he shed his blood for our sins. Bam. They're not Christians. They may have big followership. They may have big things going on. They may quote Bible like Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, but that Christ is not the real Christ. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? The spirit of error is that spirit that does not acknowledge Christ. So go to any church. Check what you believe. That Jesus was born by Virgin Mary, not by CC Mary. Are you hearing me? Or Madam Mary. No, born by Virgin Mary. He was born, he lived in this world, he died, he rose again, and he's coming back. Any church that doubts that Christ is coming back is not a church, it's a cult. Let's go to the next one. Number one, after that Jesus thing, is repentance from evil works. Hello? Now, any church that does not believe in repentance is not a church. Any church you just go to and you don't try and live and try to overcome sin in your life is not a church. It's a clubhouse. If any church, give us, let's go to verse 2. If any church, okay, before this one, okay, let's go back. Okay, thank you. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds. If you say you are going to church and you never turn to Christ away from former life, that's not a church. That's a cult. Any person who acclaims Christ must on purpose try to avoid sin. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect, but he knows that, oh no, I should not do what is bad. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2 verse 20 quickly. So we're talking about major difference. Any church, do you know one church? One man came to us, he said, in our church, Christ has borne away all our sins, so we can sin as much as you want to. That's error. That's straight road to hell. In a, give us verse 19 before this verse. Yes. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. What is it? The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. Now, I'm not saying they have left evil entirely, but as a turning away, any church you go to where they encourage you doing any kinds of things, are you hearing me? And any kind of life, and the pastor himself is not worthy of Christ's emulation. Oh no, it's not. It's wrong. I'm just playing game. Are you hearing me, somebody here today? So when you are a Christian and you want to agree, when somebody is in your office, he calls himself a Christian, he doesn't believe in repentance. Come on, believe you learning. Because you do that. Can I call you? Can I call you? Can I call you? Can I call you? No, that's not our faith. That's Orumila. Are you hearing me? That's Orumila. So repentance from dead works is part of it. And number two, foundational thing, faith in God. Any church that preach faith in human ability and in human strength is not church of Jesus Christ. You have to preach faith in God. Go to Hebrews chapter 6 we are reading. Give us in NKJV verse 2 quickly. Okay, we've seen repentance. Give us verse 1. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So if you go to a church or go to a Christian who doesn't have any faith in God, well, back when you when promise of God, that's not a Christian. That is a pagan. Bearing the name of Christ, but it's not. See, any Christian who is a Christian will want to believe the Lord is my shepherd as I not want. Am I right? The Lord is my life. So when you become a Christian, there's Christ factor in your life and that's turning away from crisis of life. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you know somebody who comes and says, we are all the same. What's the same? That Christ is not born by Virgin Mary. And then number two, you know, can do anything you want. That is not Christianity. That's cult. Let me give you an example. Take a look at this. I had this story, but the person who told me is here, but I'm going to cover it up. This person is in this church, and in that church, they went into Revelation, and they saw that this guy will marry this person, then they will divorce, and they marry somebody else. And what kind of revelation is that one? What kind of revelation is that one? And they said, go ahead and still marry him. And soon, I'll be TG. I mean, that kind of a thing. You see, I'll give another one. Any church you go to has not emphasized the work of Christ, but the work of Ise, Isegun, it's not church, it's a cult. Hello? Any church that puts something else along with Christ, the Father and the Son, is not church. So if you say, Holy Uriel, Holy Raphael, it's not church. It can't be church. You cannot put God along with another person and say you are worshiping. No, you are not worshiping God. You are not worshiping God in Christ. Hello? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of Tunde Amosu, that's Wala. You're not part of them. Am I making some sense? Now, our time is gone. Next one, quickly. Baptism. Of baptism, that means that when you come get born again, you get baptized in water. Whether sprinkling or dipping or whatever, baptizing, that you identify with Christ. And then laying of hands to the other. And every, you see, today, I wish I could go through all these fundamentals. You know what we're going to do? Let's go through these fundamentals. We? What are the foundational truth we have as Christians? So you know, I'm a Christian. I can say I'm a Christian indeed because I have this. So when I see anything else, it's fake. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? There are books out, churches out, saying that they are Christian, but they're not Christian because they don't emphasize Christ. They emphasize something else. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, beautiful. Okay. For instance, you will never see Paul, Peter, James, John, Jesus himself reading Psalm into water 7 times or 8 times and tell you to go and wrap something up and go and bury it somewhere. He never did. He will speak, lay his hands, and minister to you. That's all they do.
Pastor, are you attacking anybody?
No, I'm not attacking. I'm just telling you about the fake and the original. That's nothing wrong with that. I just saw that the government found out that there's $1 million fake dollars somewhere they want to bring to the country. They're chasing them now. So when we see fake, we'll be able to get away from it. But mascara and kuri are not fake. They're just our differences. Is that all right? Let's not do right.
This doesn't sound miraculous and power.
Is that all right? But we know where we belong to. We know we are Christians. Tell yourself, I'm a child of God because I believe in Jesus. Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And I follow him the rest of my life. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'd love to take questions, but our time is gone. So you can ask questions about this. But let's give our offering. If you have one or two questions, you want to ask by microphone, quickly, we'll take care of that. Anybody with questions? Microphone? Can I ask anyone with a question? I know we will not ask questions until after I've finished. Anybody? Question? Okay, Pastor, my neighbor ties scarf all the time, and he thinks I'm not a Christian. What do I do with him? Mind your business.
Are you hearing me? Just mind your business. Don't go and say, Mama, what can you? I'm alone in the mission. You don't have to convince him. You are convinced yourself. That's all. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. So, that's how to do. Sometimes in your office, they start arguing. Just walk away. Tell them, I want to go and eat. Huh? All right. Praise God. Beautiful. Let's give our offering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We bring our offering, we give to you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the kingdom of God. We thank you for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give our offering. Hallelujah. So, yeah, you got a question? Can I get a microphone? Sola, come on, I bring the microphone quickly. And let's do that. Do that. All right. Beautiful. Yes, that's Titi there. What's the question? Thank you. Anybody else with a question before we leave?
Good evening, sir. Thank you, sir, for the teaching. I want to ask, what's the point at which we evangelize to people and we are not crossing the boundary of bringing them to our faith?
I didn't get it.
Okay. Part of the teaching says we must not impose others to come to our faith or something. Yeah. But what is the point where we evangelize to people
And
we are not crossing the boundary?
All right. Thank you for that question. Now, I'm talking about where Christians, we are already Christians, where we differ. Our faith, our opinions, convictions about this or that, that's not evangelism anymore. But then, when we know somebody has not professed Christ, he doesn't follow Christ. Now, they may have their all kinds of stuff. Maybe they are doing all kinds of bad things. That is what our job is, not to be a moralist. But then we can give them tracts, invite them to church, talk to them about Jesus, give them books to make them meet the Lord. Not just change morality. Is that clear? Yeah. Fine. Anybody else? Okay. Let's give. Yeah, somebody else over there. Follow me. Thank you. Let's ask a question quickly. Pastor, does that mean I can go and eat meat in the house of Imam when Ilaya comes?
Good evening, sir. So I want to ask, where do the place of culture comes into this? Because
thank you for that question. You see, we all have our culture, no matter what we say. For instance, in Yoruba land, there is Eku, Kiki, am I right? Yoruba, we greet a lot. Oyibos don't greet. So in Yoruba land, greeting is important. In fact, I tell people, let me tell all the singles here, you are engaged. You're going to go and see your future in-law, who are going to be your parent-in-law. When you get in there, Mukule or Mudobale. Or else you'll be a bad girl or a bad boy. No matter how terrible you are, just put up a level. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? And if it's a lady, Mommy, I can't someone. Did they? But they say, just mark you. That's a good girl. Is that all right? That's respecting culture. But we must not say now, anywhere you go to be a Christian, Oboro, it's a major delay. And I want me looking here, yeah. You know, that kind of a thing. That's it. So, is that there where we live and go? But we must not impose it as our Christian faith. Is that okay? Beautiful. Thank you. Anymore, let's go home. Hallelujah. We'll talk more about this as time goes on. Where culture clash. For instance, culture, drink ogi. Some take Cerelac, some take whatever. You know, all kind of things like that. We just need to learn to live exuberantly and live large. I'm praying that you'll go anywhere in the world and just fit in. Amen? You're going to meet people from around the world and get to do things. And it can really be great when you have a large worldview than just being narrow-minded. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Yeah. Let's go home. Have you given? Get up on your feet. Hallelujah. Friday. Yeah. All through this month, you're going to do 1 hour praise between 6 and 7. You can come earlier and just pray in tongues. We're going to have 1 hour praise all through the rest of this Friday based upon Psalm 67, verse 6 and 7. Let people praise you, O God, and the earth will yield and increase. So we're coming here 6 to 7 all Fridays in September. 1 hour just to praise God, just to praise Him. We start from praising, we finish with praising, and we go home. 1 hour. All through this month. Praise God. And I put it like this. We're going to sing September. We're going to exalt God. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him. September, S-E-P-T. So we do that all through the month. I just feel we should do that so that God can release certain things for us. Amen? Can we pray together as we close? Take your neighbor's hand. Pray for them that they will get stronger and they will get better in their faith. That God will make things right in their lives. And God will put their lives together and they will live a whole life, a wonderful life, and pray that their joy will know no limits, that they will increase in joy. They will experience and enjoy their Christian faith along with God. Pray that barriers, hindrances be removed so that they can really freely flow with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ in their faith journey. Thank you, Father. Let's pray that whatever is hindering or stopping them from being their best, that they will break through it and they will live a great life alongside with Jesus. That their journey will get smoother in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Ask God to add whatever they need to make their faith more stronger and more exuberant. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight that you have shown us how to live the Christian life, not judging, criticizing others, but living life that's glorifying you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Make this truth clearer to us in our different individual private life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Amen. Then surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, dwell in the house of God.